Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, over on the other side of the wall on the board. Glad to have you along with us. It is Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. It is
Pump Day.
A little delay on the camel, but it was there.
I wasn't ready yet. I'm still fading down the
sorry,
music.
I'm sorry. I went to the camel too quickly. But yes, the Geico camel tells us, indeed, it is hump day across the world here on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. An historic day yesterday. Of course, part of this was breaking during our show yesterday, and Matt Flynn and then the Devil's Advocates picked it up throughout the afternoon right here on Civic Media. Kevin McCarthy became the first speaker in American political history, Speaker of the House, to lose his job and get voted out. First time in American political history.
You know, somewhere in there, there's a joke about how Kevin McCarthy sounds like Kevin McAllister, and it's like Home Alone 2, Lost in New York or something. I couldn't actually make the joke, but somewhere in there, there is one.
Yes, somewhere there certainly is a joke. So, yes, that is the case. We're going to be talking, of course, Troy V. Olson from the Lincoln Project, who joins us each and usually every Wednesday. He was in town personally, so we had him on yesterday. Troy V. is going to be joining us. He is on the road, but he'll be joining us via the phone here after the first break, coming up at 1:15. And then at 1:30, former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, former Republican Congressman Scott Klug, represented the city of Madison in South Central Wisconsin back in the 90s. I worked for him at one time. He will be along and he'll give us his take as a former member of Congress, a former Republican member of Congress, and from someone who has been there. What's it like, and what is his take on this historic moment, and who does he see as a possible replacement coming up for Speaker of the House? Also, just want to mention quickly, Milwaukee Brewers last night. I have my Brewers, for those watching on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, I have my Brewers jersey back on today. I am not a fair weather fan. I will stay on that bandwagon. Brewers, though, a tough night last night down at AmFam Field in Milwaukee, losing last night to the Arizona Diamondbacks by a score of 6-3. They face elimination from the postseason unless they can pull off a victory tonight. It is a best-of-three-game series. The Brewers are down 1-0, and they will have to get it done tonight. So the Brewers, you can hear it on Civic Media. If you are in Richland Center, which is WRCE, AM 1450 and 107.7 FM, and if you are on the eastern side of the state, you can listen to the playoff game on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, via the Big 1100. 1100 AM and 98.3 on your FM dial, WISS in Oshkosh. So if you are in those two markets, you can listen to the Brewers right here on Civic Media, the playoff game tonight. If you are not, don't blame us on this one, at least, as it is beyond our control. We are not allowed to stream the Brewer games. You have to go to the Major League Baseball app, I believe, for that. That is all controlled by Major League Baseball. So no streaming on the Civic Media app of the Brewers tonight, but you can listen to them in Richland Center and in Oshkosh. So check that out over the air tonight. The Brewers and the Diamondbacks once again getting underway. First pitch at 6:08 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm positive. I think the Brewers are going to bounce back tonight. I think they're going to win tonight and force game three, which would again be in Milwaukee tomorrow night.
I think it's very possible. And I'm just grateful that while it is another streaming service to get the MLB app, at least it's not this one.
Yes. I want to see you peacock.
All right. You peacock. Yes, exactly. Talking yesterday about the Wisconsin Badger football game being streamed on Peacock on Saturday, and also some of the basketball games as well. But of course, you can listen to the Badgers all season long in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory. And we do stream all of the Badger sports that we carry, men's basketball and football as well. So be aware of that. You can stream the Badgers right here on the Civic Media app. Taking your phone calls a little bit as well. Going to come back and talk with Trygve Olsen. And then again, at the bottom of the hour, former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, Republican from Madison, will be in giving us his thoughts on this historic day yesterday of Kevin McCarthy losing the speakership. We will take your phone calls as well. Also come back in the second hour and talk a little bit about the 3rd congressional district here in Wisconsin. There is yet another candidate going to be quite the primary, I believe, on the Democratic side, and talk a little bit about that. And their opponent, incumbent Derek Van Orten, an insurrectionist, someone who has verbally abused teenagers here in his district in Prairie du Chien, at the library, and also at the United States Capitol. You would think that it would be an easy beat getting rid of Derek Van Orten, but you'd be wrong, because the guy is slick. And we'll talk about that in the second hour and take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What do you think about this speaker change? What does it say about the Republican Party? What does it mean for Wisconsin as a whole? And how do we move forward on this? By the way, all of the Wisconsin Republicans voted to save Kevin McCarthy. So just there's that out there as well. From the text line, Steve in Milwaukee says Republicans have no platform, just authoritarian idiots running around because the big corporations are hiding behind the curtain, supporting extremists. They need real leadership bad. This is what happens when Americans aren't given good candidates to vote for. Thank you, Steve. You can text in on the Civic Media app. Give us a call as well. And come back with Trygve Olsen on the other side, talking about the speaker's vacancy in the House of Representatives. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever that may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour, 1 o'clock, Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Yesterday, our friend Trygve Olsen, who usually joins us on Wednesday right here in this time slot on this program, was here live and in person. So we did our weekly segment yesterday and talked about this, that it could happen later on in the afternoon, and it did. That House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was thrown out of his speakership position. First time in American history that has happened. And Trygve, as courteously and so kindly joined us from the road here in Wisconsin. Of course, a long time, like myself, Republican operative here in Wisconsin. He went on to work for John McCain and Mitch McConnell, and like me, left the Republican Party for his own reasons and is now a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, amongst other things. Trygve, you're on the road here in Wisconsin. We appreciate you joining us, my friend. Hopefully things are well on the road.
It's a great day here in Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin. I stopped at Ray's Bar in Eau Claire, one of my favorite places in the world for a ham sandwich with an old friend from Eau Claire. It was fantastic.
A beautiful fall day. It finally starts to feel a little bit like fall in Wisconsin after those 80-degree temperatures.
So much color in the leaves. And I will tell you, you forget when you're from Wisconsin just how beautiful that drive on 94 from Wisconsin Dells or even Madison up to where I'm from in Hudson River Falls is. But
oh, it is.
On a
gorgeous
fall day, fantastic.
Yep. No, it is.
I might even stop at the Katie Cheese Factory for a little bit of cheddar.
You should. Hey, you've probably gone past Osseo now, so you can't stop in for a piece of pie. But yeah, all kinds of.
No, I can't stop at the Norske Nook, but I would if I could.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy your tour there through northwestern Wisconsin. Things are not so cheery out in Washington, D.C. these days. Yesterday, the House threw out, with the help of eight Republicans and the entire Democratic caucus. Kevin McCarthy became the first speaker in U.S. history to be thrown out of that position. Trygve, you and I happened to be together at an event here in Madison with a few friends. What was your first reaction when we found out this news?
Well, as you said, you and I were hanging out with some old friends two former, one Republican and one Democratic state senator. And, it, you know, you and I both talked offline. It was so refreshing because they were bantering back and forth. They were arguing a little bit about politics.
Oh, I forgot this. Okay. This is not a real warning. This is a test. I totally forgot about having to say something about this. So yeah, just wait, everybody. This is a test of the national broadcasting system.
It was on my phone. It was on the radio. I know. I think it's working.
I know. So yes, once again, I was supposed to announce this. I dropped the ball on it. I apologize. This is a national test of the emergency broadcast system, and this happens every 2 to 3 years. It is going out over all your devices. You cannot stop it. It's meant in case of a true national emergency to put this out. So don't be alarmed. I know it is alarming, but this is a test. It is only a test of the national emergency broadcast system, and I believe now as our phones kind of die down, that is the extent of that. So, yes, so Trigvi, we were, as we said, with that, I don't think they'll mind naming them. It was former Majority Leader Dale Schultz, Republican, and former Majority Leader Tim Cullen, a Democrat. And, yeah, it was refreshing, right, just to hang out with them and a couple other people and to hear them talk the way things, you know, you, not to be too nostalgic, but the way things used to work.
Yeah, and, as you and I were talking about afterwards, you know, it's striking because we were sitting there. Not everybody agreed about everything. We were talking politics because that's what we have in common. We were also, Dale and I were talking about the possibility of me going down and doing some pheasant hunting with him, which I liked a lot.
Right.
You know, it was like a Wisconsin conversation, and it was being had about, you know, how you solve problems and fix things. And also there was a little bit of sadness, almost nostalgia in the way things aren't like that today. Mm-hmm. And I think what we saw in Washington, D.C. with McCarthy being removed as speaker is really gets to the heart of what we're seeing in Wisconsin too, with the state legislature. And that is, you know, the Republican Party's dysfunction internally is starting to have real world implications. And with the speaker, that one of those real world implications is going to be for the next 2 weeks, we're probably not going to have a speaker, maybe longer. The House isn't going to be doing anything. And we have another potential government shutdown coming. And, you know, I suspect, having traveled the world, the people sitting in Beijing or sitting in Moscow are laughing at us. Mm-hmm. And the people in other capitals and in states around the country are looking at this and thinking, what is going on?
Yeah. No, it's a dangerous situation, as you say, from a world political standpoint. But, yeah, and again, you and I were talking before
but
the show.
But it's dangerous for the states, too.
All right.
You know, the people in the state of Wisconsin don't benefit from the federal government shutting down. We all benefit from the U.S. military. And,
right.
And we can have disagreements about what the appropriate levels of spending are. But when you have a party that has been bestowed by the people with the honor of governing and they can't get their act together, well, that's a real problem. And it wasn't Democrats. They're now trying to blame the Democrats. Well, 207 Democrats voted for him. It's because they have demonstrated themselves not to be trustworthy or serious. And if you look at what happened after the shutdown, the Democrats and the Republicans came together and voted together to avoid a shutdown for 45 days. And Kevin McCarthy went on TV right afterwards and bashed the Democrats to try and appease those people who ultimately removed him anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right. And as we said, it comes down to a matter of trust. And just the, am I right in saying that whether you want to call them the Freedom Caucus or the Mega Caucus or whatever it is now, and the far right in the House, they simply don't trust Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy doesn't trust them. The House Democrats don't trust Kevin McCarthy. I listened to a lot of McCarthy's speech where he burned, I think, a lot of political bridges last night. But he did say this. In his speech last night, he said he called out and tried to kind of ding President Biden for saying, well, I think he should have been more hands-on. He hasn't called me personally. But what Kevin McCarthy did say is, you know what, I'll give props to, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically I'll give props to the White House team when we negotiated the budget deal, when we negotiated the 45-day continuing resolution. They did so in good faith, and you know, I have no problem with them. They did a good job. And that is the thing that we're lacking in Washington and in Wisconsin, Trigvy, I think, is this trust amongst even our own politicians.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing about trust is it takes a long time to build and can be destroyed in an instant.
Right.
And I also think that you have a whole lot of people who, rather than having faith in each other, that you might disagree with them, they come at it with good intentions. We now have this climate where everybody wants to make each other fear each other. And, you know, it doesn't work. Our democracy is about not just about we the people, but it's about trying to form a more perfect union. And that has somewhere gotten lost by all these people who want to say, oh, we the people, we the people. Well, it's we the people working together to form a more perfect union, and we're not doing that. And the Republican Party, Brandon Buck, who used to be Paul Ryan's communications director, was on TV, and he's like, I saw Brandon speaking, and Brandon made a point that I've heard him make offline, which is maybe the Republican Party just isn't prepared to be a party that's leading in right. power at the moment.
Good point.
Because they just want to expound grievance.
I want to play a quick cut here. I usually don't play a cut from this guy, but this is a United States Senator, John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, on Morning Joe, when asked about what went down in the House yesterday. You worked for McCain and McConnell in the Senate. There is a difference, right, of attitudes. Let's take a listen to this and get Trigvy's reaction. This is Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, on Morning Joe about what went down in the House yesterday.
I don't have a lot of advice for my House colleagues. Other than this, follow your heart, but take your brain with you. The American people expect us to govern. And in order to govern, you have to have leadership. And you've got to stick with that leadership to give that leadership a chance. I'd also advise all of my House colleagues to be sure and take their meds.
Advise my House colleagues to take their meds. I thought that was a fantastic cut by John Kennedy.
That's savage.
That is funny. I will say, somebody who was a friend of mine who used to be chief of staff to a Speaker of the House said to me once, I was talking about the Senate and the House, and he said, you don't understand. He said, the real enemy for people in the House is the Senate, and the Senate is the House. It used to not be Republicans and Democrats. It used to be institutional. I think part of the problem is we've gotten away from that, although it sounds like John Kennedy, who is by, you know, all accounts, a very, very conservative Republican, has pretty much had enough of what's, you know, he gets what this means for the country.
Well, exactly. You have to get to his point. You have to govern. You have, and it doesn't matter whether you were Nancy Pelosi or whether you were John Boehner or whether you, any of these are Paul Ryan. So Boehner, Ryan, Pelosi, very different people, but they could govern, Trigvy.
Yes. And, you know, today was a sad day for, or yesterday, and today too, every day that we don't have a Speaker of the House is a sad day for American democracy and for the United States. And neither side should be gloating or feeling good about what's going on here. And I think Kennedy gets to that point.
About a minute and a half left here. Steve Scalise rumored to possibly be in the mix. Jim Jordan has already said he's in, although he has a lot of baggage. You look at Lee Stefanik. Last night, Sean Hannity was telegraphing that Donald Trump was willing to, quote, help out the Republicans short term. Who of these names is any of those? Are any of those realistic to be the next speaker? Who do you think is going to be?
You know, I think it's really anybody who's telling you that they have any notion of who's going to be next or even more likely to be next is probably just trying to give an answer because they feel like they have to. I really don't know. I mean, this has not happened in the history of the Republic. And so I don't think we can really say. Paul Ryan struggled to get the votes. McCarthy, obviously, 15 ballots. I'm not sure. And there's part of me that wonders deep down if that isn't really what Gates and these guys are trying to do. If 45 days from now we don't have a Speaker of the House, we very well probably don't have a government that's operating. And they might be, I believe they want that chaos. Because then they're just going to sit and blame Joe Biden.
Right. Last night, John Dickerson on CBS said the Republicans, voted Kevin McCarthy out for the sin of voting with Democrats. And they did it by voting with Democrats. I thought that was a great line. Trevi Olson, thanks so much. Yeah, really appreciate you. As always, from Lincoln Project, don't go anywhere. On the other side, Scott Klug, former member of Congress, with his thoughts. This is the Todd Oswald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Oswald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Welcoming back former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, representing here in the state capital area, the old 2nd District. Much of it's still the same. Dane County and some of the outlier counties. You had a few more rural parts of South Central Wisconsin, I think, when you were there. But thank you for coming back on. You, of course, host the Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans podcast, which is debuting on civicmedia.us. This weekend. How are you, Scott?
Good, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
It's always great to have you. Thanks for coming on. Scott was in Congress as a Republican, believe it or not, representing Madison, a very different time. You're a pro-choice Republican. You voted for the assault weapons ban, but you were also a fiscal conservative. And here we find ourselves today in chaos in Washington, D.C., your old stomping grounds in the House of Representatives. Kevin McCarthy, a guy that you know, is now the first speaker ever to be voted out of office. What was your take last night when you saw the news?
Well, it's just a freak show. I mean, I feel sorry for Kevin. If you look, he's got such a small majority that it's hard to hold people together. People forget that when Nancy Pelosi did one of her last re-elections, I mean, she had 24 Democrats vote against her. Mm-hmm. The fact was she had 10 to spare. Kevin doesn't have that. And so I think there's a real challenge for the party going forward, because the fundamental point here is, I don't know why they forced Kevin McCarthy out except for political theater. It's not over cause. It's not over a reason. It's not like Matt Gaetz lost some vote or some policy he clearly cares about. He just, I think, wants to be on YouTube and wants to be on TV. And so now the dilemma is they couldn't agree on an alternative speaker in January. I'm not sure anybody's got a magic solution, and they break open the fortune cookie and there's the path forward. I don't think there is one. That's what's frustrating. If it was over principle, if it was wanting a change in direction, he and his sort of merry gang of six, congratulations, you now broke it. Now you got to fix it.
John Dickerson on CBS News last night, I thought, had an interesting take. He said, Kevin McCarthy got voted out for the sin of working with Democrats on continuing resolution, and it took working with the Democrats by the caucus of the crazies to get him out.
Yeah. Well, we were in this all the time because we had fights when I was in. Newt Gingrich at one point was under an ethics investigation when I was there. And Newt was running for speaker again. And the problem is, unless there's a speaker in place, you can't do anything else. So at the beginning of session, this was Kevin McCarthy's big problem and the country's big problem in January, is he couldn't even swear in other members until there was a speaker. And they're gone on recess now for a week, appropriately, so they can't do any other damage. And why they're out, the dilemma is going to be, what's the plan when you come back? Now, the current acting speaker, who's from North Carolina, Patrick McHenry, perfectly reasonable guy, smart, engaging, everything else in the world, would be a great alternative. I'm not sure who they want. And all the other people, Steve Scalise, who's been in Republican leadership for years, is another good guy, but apparently not weird enough for the gang of six. So I don't know what they're going to do. And when, you know, they were in the fights, there were never a fully formed rebellion on the Democratic side, but it was close a couple of times. But I think Republicans would have said the same thing. I'm not going to cross the aisles and vote for a Democratic speaker because it'll kill me in a primary, and it's their mess, so you clean it up. And I think that's the position where there's probably, on both sides of the aisle, unfortunately, much smaller numbers than there used to be, but there's probably 15 to 20 people on both sides of the aisle who would cross if they thought it was, if it made sense, like they did with the last continuing resolution just to keep the government open. You can cut those kind of deals with regular people, but this is raw politics at its best, and the Democrats are just going to sort of sit back and giggle.
One of the things I admired about you when your term in Congress is you weren't snarky, you weren't small, you were there just to get the job done and come back to Wisconsin. You brought up Patrick McHenry, the Speaker pro tem, who is filling the seat right now, literally and figuratively. His first act after gaveling the House out was to evict Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer from these little offices. Explain to people what that is. And do you think that was just kind of small?
The answer is if you're in the majority, you control where the offices are. And I can point fingers at both parties for doing equally snivelly things.
But Pelosi let Denny Hastert, for God's sake, have an office there after everything that happened with him. I just think it's small for McHenry to do this on his first act as Speaker pro tem.
Well, I think it, you know, was a sign to the Democrats. Okay, if you're not going to be helpful, I'm not going to be helpful to you. I don't really, who the hell cares what office you have? I'm serious. Well,
Pelosi said that. She said, I don't care. I just think it's, you know, they have bigger things they should have worried about.
Well, point well taken, but I mean, I didn't really care what office I was in. I had friends of mine, you know, senators not only have their office in the Senate office buildings, but most of them have a side office in the Senate or around the Capitol. And the question would be why? Well, because they do, because they're senators. I've never really understood that either. So it's whatever.
Didn't you get your office moved faster by a six-pack of beer at one point?
That's absolutely true.
Tell people that story.
Well, it wasn't picking the office. It was the fact that none of the computers were hooked up or anything. So it's a little hard to do work when you can't call up the internet and get things done, even back in the dark ages when I was there. So, and we lacked furniture, and we were going to have a reception with people coming in. And it turned out that one of the women who works for me was actually from Washington and had relatives who worked on the sort of Capitol grounds crew who moved the furniture in and got the computers hooked up. And I said, Karen, call your cousin. She called the cousin. And I said, she said, well, what are you going to give him? It's like, what he wants? A case of beer. Tell him two cases of beer if he gets it done fast. And that's how Washington really works. So two cases of beer later, we probably had our office set up that Nancy Pelosi had in her office in the Capitol, because it just took some good Wisconsin lubricant.
That's all it takes, Wisconsin beer. You can move a lot just by a couple of glasses of beer.
Absolutely.
I want to get your take on this because, John Boehner, who came into Congress with you, and Paul Ryan, of course, you know well as well, both speakers, both kind of got, well, Boehner more so, I would argue, got forced out. He left on his own. Ultimately, Paul Ryan never really wanted the job, had to be convinced by it. And I would put Boehner, Ryan, and even Nancy Pelosi, whether you agree with her or not, as three people who still put the institution of the House and the country ahead of their own personalities. Kevin McCarthy just seems like the only thing he ever cared about is being Speaker. And do you think that led to his downfall, his obsession with the office?
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think what led to Kevin's downfall is the fact he's got a narrow margin and a group of whack jobs who just don't like him. But the point is, you know, it's one thing if you're saying, okay, the appropriation bills are going to come to the floor and you give me this amendment because I want to cut, you know, $70 million out of the agriculture department because I don't like how they're spending it on green new energy programs. Mm-hmm. Then if you forced McCarthy out over a principle, I could understand that. I might not like it because you got to live to fight another day, but then you're actually trying to accomplish something. I don't know what this accomplished. It's street theater. And so if you look at Matt Gaetz and say, what do you want next? He has no answer, but he's happy because he's been on the news everywhere. And he and his merry gang, you know, the sooner they go. But it's not all that different, Todd, than what Boehner had to deal with. He had the Freedom Caucus that was right in there. And then a variation of the Freedom Caucus is what tied Paul Ryan's hands. So I think, it's just the same sort of movie being played over and over and over, that we have a small wing of the Republican Party that in some ways is ungovernable. Now, let's flip that on its side. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, because she had large margins, survived all these years. And she was a much more, you know, sophisticated, longtime leader than Kevin was. But Kevin's been waiting a long time to do this. And I do think if the Democrats take control and they end up with a 6-vote majority, welcome to the Progressive Caucus, who's much larger and just as unreasonable and just as unruly. So I'm not sure that Nancy, they got married in case you didn't know. I'm not sure that Nancy Pelosi would have been able to navigate the same thing, because it was a fight over, I don't know what. I mean, I don't know how you solve that for that group.
Wasn't it basically like John Dickerson said? It was simply because that Gates and his crazies did not want McCarthy to work with Democrats in any way for the continuing resolution. They wanted to shut it down. I mean, you were in Congress in the 90s when government got shut down. I mean, nobody wins.
Well, and the Republicans lost. When I was in office, I can remember because I was on Newt's whip team. So right. They shut most of the government down.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm a big fan of Newt and remain a big fan of Newt's. When they shut it down, you know, so there's a dozen appropriations bills. So the budget comes out, then it gets sliced into 12 sections and it's doled out to individual appropriations committee. As you might expect, defense is one, health and human services is another one. We picked the fight over the Department of Interior, which is where the National Park Service is. Mm-hmm. So the fights during the Clinton administration with the shutdown, you know, were five people who drove with their, you know, parents and three kids to Yellowstone and spent 2 weeks on the road and got to Yellowstone National Park and it was locked up.
Like family
and
vacation.
I remember looking at Newt and saying, Newt, I sort of get the strategy. We could have closed the Department of Housing and Urban Development and nobody would have noticed for 2 years. So it was the ultimate in self-flagellation. And right. We, at the end of the day, we lost. It made Bill Clinton look good. And it was stupid to shut the government down. There, at least, it was over principle. Now, it's just sort of, you know, it's the Biden administration, so we don't want to give them any money.
So what comes next? Steve Scalise, rumored to be somebody thinking about running. He has health issues, fighting blood cancer right now. Jim Jordan announced this morning that he is a candidate from Ohio. He certainly has baggage of his own from Ohio State and sex scandals there. And is, I would say, on the far right of the Republican Party. You've got Elif Stefanik, who may be interested in this. And now, even this morning, there are rumors that the Crazy Caucus is floating Trump's name and via Sean Hannity saying he may be interested. Is any of that viable, or who do you see next?
You lost me on that last one, that Sean Hannity is going to run for speaker.
No, Sean Hannity last night on his show said that he had inside information that Trump would be willing to bail the Republicans out and consider being speaker.
Okay.
In the short term.
Yeah.
I take it for what it is. Yeah. I'm just saying this out there.
All right. Well, let's rejoin our listeners on planet Earth. I think that Scalise is probably a pretty good option. He's a smart guy. And I could say, as somebody who actually battled lymphoma a few years ago, blood cancer can be fairly manageable in many cases, depending on the kind, cured, not just in remission. He'd be a good candidate. I think Stefaniak could be an interesting candidate, Republican from upstate New York. It would be a nice face for the Republican Party to have a woman in leadership. And in some ways, I think she probably carries less baggage than Scalise does. Mm-hmm. So, but I think both of them would be very good candidates. And I don't think the former president would make a lot of sense.
Neither do I. Scott Klug, you host the new podcast called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. It dropped a couple of weeks ago wherever people get their podcasts. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. Or starting this weekend, people could go to civicmedia.us and download it there and give folks a synopsis of what this is and why you did it.
Well, I, like a lot of people, find myself lost in the middle. So 44% of American voters, 71 million people are absolutely bewildered by what's going on in the country. And I think they want a political body that will collaborate, not compromise. Compromise has a sense you give stuff up, but collaboration means you're working together. One of the reasons you should turn into this first episode is we did a long interview with Kevin McCarthy, not the Washington, D.C. Kevin McCarthy, but Kevin McCarthy from Rockford, Illinois, who's actually on the Winnebago County Board, a Republican, and a morning DJ host in Rockford. But Rockford and Winnebago County in 7 of the last 8 elections voted for the winning candidate. The only time they didn't was in 2016 when Hillary won it by 71 votes. So if you want to hear what some other fellow middle-of-the-road independents lost in the middle political orphan types are, the interview with Kevin that's featured in the first episode is priceless. And that's what we're trying to do in Lost in the Middle, is to listen to those American voters and also to tell you stories about people who are getting things done and trying to change the current political zeitgeist, to get away exactly from what we've been, the cloud we're hanging under for the last 24 hours.
You have a great perspective. You've been in broadcasting, an Emmy-winning broadcaster, a member of Congress, and now, as you say, to complete the axis.
Yeah, can't hold a job, Todd. That's the punchline.
A lobbyist as well. Former Congressman Scott Kluge, thanks so much for being here. Really, really appreciate it. Welcome back anytime. And don't forget to check out Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, on civicmedia.us right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Todd.
Stay tuned. More after this on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. Don't go anywhere on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show across the Civic Media Radio Network here in the state of Wisconsin and also worldwide on the Civic Media app. If you have not downloaded the app yet, you can do so at your favorite app store on either your Apple or Android device. Just type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and download that. Takes less than a minute. It is free. As Gail King says at CBS, it is a deal. Appreciate Scott Kluge stopping by. Also appreciate Trygve Olsen calling in from the road. Great to have those perspectives. In the last segment, former Congressman Scott Kluge talked about the whack job caucus, meaning the far-right mega caucus. One take on that, the motivation, actually just money, right? Leading the news cycle. I think he said it, or Scott alluded to it. Trygve did as well. Matt Gaetz is everywhere right now, on social, on TV, every place. That means raising money. Well, look at Trump. Every time he goes on TV, every time he says something wacky on his social media network, every time he attacks a judge, every time he gets indicted, Trump is raising money off of every single one of those. And in Trump's case, a lot of that money gets used for personal legal expenses. So that's a matter of why they're doing this. Partly, right, to get money. What do you think about this? 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Appreciate your phone calls and text line as well. Let's go to the text line. Jeff from Shorewood says about the last comments there from Scott Kluge, collaborate, but that necessarily means compromise. Can't be lost in the middle if you're mega. Sorry. Well, okay. Yes, I mean, mega means you're not in the middle, I would think. Also, he says, Jeff from Shorewood on the text line from WAUK says, quote, I'm just sick and tired of Republicans whining about being, quote, stuck in the middle. If that's the way you feel, then vote Democratic. The megas have taken over the Republican Party.
As far as Scott Kluge in particular, if you do listen to the podcast, you will find out he is very, like, it's not like he is a Trump voter who says, oh, I'm stuck in the middle. No, he very much dislikes Trump, as do most of us.
Right.
So
he's a Republican that says, I'm not a Trumper and I don't agree with the mega caucus, but neither is he personally, a Democrat. And that's why he says, that's the whole point, is that he feels lost in the middle. Mary from Mount Horeb listening in on WMDX here in Madison says, quote, I appreciate the interview with Mr. Kluge. One question I would have liked to ask him, Maybe you can read that, Mr. Zombers. Yeah, I can't see.
One question that Mary had for Scott Kluge is for him to give an example of what the Progressive Caucus is currently doing that is extreme, comparable to the current wackos in the GOP.
Well, I mean, he speaks for himself. I mean, he's not speaking for me or this show, but I think from his perspective, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but from his perspective, that there are members of the Progressive Caucus that are certainly further to the left than some of the other members. And what he was saying, should the Democrats retake control by only 5 or 6 votes, that it may be as hard for Hakeem Jeffries to get unanimous votes as it was for Kevin McCarthy, because there are certainly people that are left progressive versus right progressive. Now, I would argue that the differences, this is me talking, this is Todd talking, I would say the differences with the mega caucus on the far right, they're anti-democracy versus the Progressive Caucus, which is still pro-democracy, but they have differences on policy or on issues. So
right, and unfortunately, we can't ask him directly for his opinion since he already had to duck out.
He ducked out.
Next time,
we'll ask him that. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go down to Stoughton here in Dane County. CJ in Stoughton, what say you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Todd. You know, you speak about being a fair weather fan for the Brewers. I guess that's why I wanted to ask Trigby and yourself, because I think you're fair weather Republicans. Now that you left the party, I wish you would have stayed and fought for what you believed in. And I think what happened is that I feel bad for McCarthy, but he did make promises that he didn't keep. And if you listen to Gates, that he had a deal with about Ukraine funding. The Republicans are misrepresented because 70% of the government budget had already been passed through appropriations in 4 bills. They're now discussing appropriations. And again, I ask you both, I would like to ask Scott Klug, does he believe that $100,000 in debt for every man, woman, and baby today is not enough? We have to address spending, and I believe the Republicans are the only adults in the room that are trying to address our spending. The border, they're making that as their number one issue until they secure the border. $10,000, Todd, $10,000 per every illegal that has come across in our social.
That's enough. Cut him off. CJ, I try to give you a chance, right? I try to give you a chance. It's just, if we want to stick to the issues, that's fine. But again, it's continuing on with just blather, and some of this stuff is just factually untrue. We've talked about this before on the show, that under former President Trump, $7 trillion in additional debt. And look, I'm not going to speak for Scott Klug again, but I can simply tell you that when Klug was in office, no one fought the debt harder than Scott Klug. He was a fiscal conservative. But again, this is redirecting, right? It's smoke and mirrors by talking about the border and talking about Ukraine. The fact is that the Republicans who voted against the continuing resolution, the 45-day continuing resolution, 90 of them, 90 to 1, one Democrat voted against it, 90 Republicans over the weekend. And the 90 Republicans who voted against the continuing resolution voted to defund the border, protecting the border. And again, this insistence on no Ukraine funding in this continuing resolution. As Trigby has talked about, as someone who's actually worked around the world and taken on authoritarianism, who is banned from Russia by Putin himself, that this is signaling, this no further funding of Ukraine, this is a signal to Xi in China, to Putin in Russia, that if Republicans are back in charge, that they have free control, free reign. That is not a traditional Republican response as someone who spent almost 30 years in the party and left in 2011. This is completely contrary, and this is pro-authoritarianism not to support Ukraine funding. And as Mitt Romney has said, a Republican, the money going to Ukraine is about 5% or less of the entire military budget. It just doesn't add up.
I think with the fair weather Republican comment, people like Todd specifically have tried to speak out against this, and wanted to stay there, but it just couldn't.
You can't negotiate with crazy, and that's where the Republican Party is today. Back with more Hour Number 2, including your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and this is the Todd Oswald Show.